Good afternoon, and by you, it's Tu B'Shvat. So I wish you a very wonderful Tu B'Shvat. Good. We didn't have a chance to meet last week because of the storm over here, and I had to go to Lakewood to a chasna and leave early. There's another storm today, Baruch Hashem, but it's much better conditions. So this is our ninth of our ten, maybe an 11th meeting. Right now, this is the ninth of our 10 meetings. We're going to be devoting it to the issue of the inner circle, which I will explain a little bit later what that is. I see there's a little bit of light shining over here. Let me just make this better. Good. So before I begin discussing the inner circle and what it means and where it comes from and how we use it in our work as one of the six gates of personal empowerment, I want to tell you firstly that the book on which this program is based, which is called the Menucha Principle, the Torah's Gift of Self-Empowerment, the Bez Hashem, be coming out, it seems that way, for Pesach. And the Askam is by Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky, Shleita, and Rav Yisrael Reisman. So we're quite excited about that. So before I go into the inner circle, I want to discuss, first I want to give you an overview of where I see things, which I'd like to do at each session, because it gives me a chance to think through where we are, what we're trying to do, what makes this program unique. As I thought about it, the purpose of this approach actually was written by someone by the name of Dr. David Steiner, who is a neurologist who edited and who added a piece to a book. He's a Ben Torah, and he's a very well-respected doctor. So he had said something which made sense. He said the purpose of this approach is to demonstrate that that when I lead my life close to Hashem, when I'm able to say Shivisi Hashem Kinegdi Shamit, that Hashem is always opposite me, always in front of me. So this state of mind gives me the ability to overcome the challenges that are a part of my life. Whether these challenges are in my behavior, in my thinking, in my davening, in my family life, in my spouse, with my children, with my kehila. So the goal of attaining this Hashem Kinegdi summit and being in that state of mind which we try to create through Menuchas HaNefesh gives us the ability to overcome all the challenges, because the challenges themselves did not come by themselves. The challenges that we face, every one of us, whether it's on Chas V'Shalom, our health, or our family, or anything else, always comes directly from Hashem. There's nothing that happens without Hashem. So placing Hashem in front of us through the activities, and other activities also, but these that we're learning here in this program, become a kli kibul to answer these challenges, which is what Hashem wants us to do. He wants us to answer the challenges. So, I heard a very nice aura, and I heard a very nice Dvar Torah, and I had a nice aura that I wanted to share with you, which is based on what we're trying to do. So, we said in last week's parsha, we say every day in Oz Yashir, we say Zeh Keli Vanvehu. So Vanvehu means, we all know it means to beautify. But there's a Chazal that says Banavehu comes from the same shorish as the word Ma'on, a dwelling place, a place where Hashem dwells. Zed Keli Banavehu means that I am making myself into a kli that the Eibushalom can inhabit, can live within me. I'm becoming a ma'on for the Eibushalom to be able to rest on. All of my behavior and my thoughts and my feelings, this is the direction that I wanted to take. And I had one other machshava, which came from a shiur I heard from Asher Zelig Rubinstein, the Tzal, who was nifter this past year, on Oz Yashir. He was talking about Nachshon, so important for us in our work. So he said that Nachshon, when he entered into the water, he was the only one to enter into the water, and the water went up to his chest, went up to his mouth, when it got up to his nostrils, there was no way that he could survive. That Nachshon, and at that point, Alpi Teva Nachshon should have left. But he was just following the Tzivui of the Rebbe Shalom to go into the Mayim. So he didn't leave. He stayed there. And as he stayed there, the water opened up. The Rebbe Shalom was Megala to him, the soul of all creation. He opened up the Yam for him. I think in everything we do, and my experience here, and everything that I'm teaching, that I've learned myself, and I've taught others, is that we do these things because we don't have answers. We turn to Rebbe Shalom. And in a sense, we're obnoxious. We're saying, Rebbe Shalom, we're turning to you. I don't have any other answer. And Rebbe Shalom is Megala to us, the Sod. He opens up the answer for us. He helps us quiet the thought. He helps us bring the anxiety under control. He helps bring back the feelings that we thought we'd lost. So all of these things that we're learning, all of these gates of self empowerment, whether it's the breathing or whether the pulse or centering or the principles, and each of these things, they have one thing in common. They're not light switches that we flick on and off. They're not automatic processes. They're not tricks that we do. Each of them requires that we give ourselves over to the Rebbe Shalom, like Nachshon. We say, Rebbe Shalom, I don't know what to do, but I'm going to do this. And hopefully you will megala me the way out. You'll give me the sod that we say, Barosa Rabbi Bekibri, Tavchu Mecha Yashashu Nafshi, right? Sarape, the Kirby, all the troubled thoughts will quiet down. And Yishashua, Tanchumecha Yishashua Nafshi. And I will be able to enjoy the fullness of Torah, the fullness of life, the fullness of the relationship, the fullness of myself, and all the brachas you bring into my life every moment. And this is what we're teaching. We're teaching how to be a Nachshon. In that sense, we're teaching how to say, "Rebbe Shalom, help me out of this," but not out of desperation. We're teaching skills, and it's very important that we're not trying to negate any other therapeutic process, none whatsoever. What we are saying in other therapeutic processes, those therapeutic interventions are based on the concept of life, that life is mikra. That things happen to people. And if things happen to people, the mikra, so these are the things you do to straighten it out. We're saying nothing is mikra. We're saying everything is from the Rebbe Shalom. And since everything is from the Rebbe Shalom, we're going to use different kalim from the Torah Kedosha, from Chazal, from Ashkafa, from Musa. We're going to use these things to help ourselves and to help others out of it. We're gonna create a growth spurt, right, that enables us to discover our own road to freedom and help others to discover their road to freedom. So this is not a conflict between ourselves and therapeutic methods. It's a different hashkafa, it's a different way of seeing things. And because of the different way of seeing things, we have a different approach. I want to say one more thing. As we come close to the end of this program, we only have two or three sessions left. The question, what do you do with it? How do you integrate it into your work? Into what you're doing? Well, there are two, I have two suggestions. One is that you should start thinking about working in pairs to give programs, 5-6 session programs to people. That you and your partner, whoever it is that you're going to work with, who has taken this program, will present. It can be generic, or it can be for colleagues, it can be for mothers, it can be for wives, it can be for bachurim, it can be for expecting mothers, it can be for wedding planners, it can be for any area of life. Women in distress, men in distress. You can be in any area of life that people need these skills, and you can teach them. And you'll see what a difference it makes. You don't want to charge a lot to begin with. You don't want to make, you want to enable people to come. You're not worried whether there are 5 people there or 10 or 20. You just want to do it. And if you're going to use it in your private work, if you do any private work, then you should have somebody that you're working with, somebody that you're constantly thinking through what you're going to use and how you're going to use it. Okay. We can take some of these questions later, or we can discuss them next week. Perhaps we'll have one session at the end to discuss all of this. We'll see. Now, I have one more area to cover before we go into the inner circle, and that's to recap the two sessions we had on breathing. And I hope that all of you have had an opportunity to use the breathing exercise. I know one of you did, and you emailed me a very, very lovely email about how it helped with the breath of love. The purpose of the breathing activities is to give ourselves and the people we're working with an ongoing exercise that can pervade our lives and infuse it and fill it with meaning and purpose. We can use it when we're davening. We can use it when we're walking. We can use it in relationships, when we're feeling critical. Someone had told me that, a wife had told me that she was recently married, that she was feeling very critical of her husband. And she didn't want to feel critical, but she had this tendency to feel critical. And she knew it was bad for the marriage. And he didn't deserve the criticism. And she wanted to know, what could she do? What could she do to quiet the criticism? So I told her to do the breath of love. And the breath of love simply is that when you see your husband, you take a breath. You say, Hashem, I love you. That's a wonderful thing to say, Hashem, I love you. And then you say, Hashem, you love me. And then you say, Hashem, and you love my husband as well. Maybe she's not ready to say that she loves him. But once she acknowledges that she loves Hashem, and Hashem loves her, and the reason why she says, Hashem, I love you first, is because it's easier to feel Hashem's love for you and to believe it when you express it towards Hashem first. Obviously, Hashem loves us far more than we love him. But it's easier to acknowledge it and to know it's emes if we say, Hashem, I love you first. Now we can acknowledge that he loves us. And once we acknowledge that Rabbi Shalom loves us, we can now say, Rabbi Shalom, just like you love me, you love my husband, you love my wife, you love my boss, you love my chavrusa. How important it is, because it's true. Hashem loves you, and he loves these people as well. We're all his kinderlach. And that's what I told her. I said, it's just a breath. It's all it is, just a breath away. And what a difference it makes. So breathing, and I hope you practice all of the exercises and decide which works well for you. The one in davening, in the portraits. So with this, let's go on to the next gate of empowerment called the inner circle. Now I should really teach walking before the inner circle, but since there are in the walking exercises, which we'll learn Be'ez Hashem next week, there are a number of walks which you take with your inner circle, I've decided to do the inner circle first. Let's discuss the inner circle. In the year 2000, I wrote a book. And the name of the book was The Inner Circle, Seven Gates to Marriage. It was about helping singles get married through walking through seven different gates. Like here were the six gates, here were seven gates. I don't think I go into what the gates are. Why was it called two things, The Inner Circle, Seven Gates to Marriage? Because in working with singles, and the singles epidemic, the Magefa was just kind of, people were just recognizing it, and it's become much worse now. But in working with this, with singles, I did notice something which was very obvious. I'll never forget, I went to a program that somebody gave in this house, a very wealthy person gave a program in this house, and there were singles sitting around tables talking to each other. One thing I saw was so clear, that they were so malachuti, they were so superficial. Nobody was themselves, you can't be yourself. You have to play a role, you have to play smart, you have to play pretty, you have to play this, and everybody's on a job interview. Nobody can be themselves. And I saw that so many singles, they confused the role they were playing with who they are. And I said to myself, what can I do to help them be more mitziyuti, more truthful as to who they are? Not to show the bad stuff, chas v'shalom, but truthful in terms of their own depth, their own amkus as people. And at the time, well, actually before that, I had been working on something myself, which had nothing to do with my professional work, but my private work, my personal work. And I want to explain what it was. In my own life, my father was nifter when I was very young. And I went to Baruch Hashem, went to yeshiva and Herbeim, but I went through life, particularly growing up, feeling very empty, not knowing who I was. Very confused as to who I was. And so one day I must have been in my mid-20s, I had a real crisis. I said, who am I? I don't know who I am. I never really had a father since I was a very young boy. And my rebbeim, they were nice to me. I didn't really know them very well. It's not like in America, it's not like Eretz Yisrael, where a rebbe gets under your skin and you go there. In America, you have Lashon HaKodesh, you have the Chumash, whatever it is, and you go home. Nobody bothers you. I knew people. I knew Gedolim. I knew Rav Moshe. That's all. I went to the yeshiva. But no one really gave me a sense of who I was. And one day I said to myself, who am I? And I realized I had a Zaidi. I had a Zaidi who lived in Boston. We called him Zaidi Boston. He lived in Boston. I didn't see him very much. When I saw him, I liked him very much. He was a very wonderful person, very warm. And I said to myself, I'm going to go and visit my Zaidi in Boston. And I sat with him. I went there. I traveled there. And I sat with him for a few days, and we spoke. And Baruch Hashem, it's good that I went, because I never saw him again. He was nifter just 6 months afterwards. He was young, he was in his 80s. So I went to see Zaidi Boston. And I remember those days, and as I was sitting with him, I said, this is who I am. I am this person. I have him in me. I have his genes in me. People say that I look like him. And it's true. I do look like him. But that's not why I feel he is a part of me. But I began to ask myself, many years later, not then, but many years later, who else am I? And I began to go over my history with my father, Oliver Sheldon, who died when I was very young. But I began to think about moments when I remember him. Remember him and when we went to shul together, and when he took me up, when he took me home from yeshiva every day when I was younger. Remember when we played ball together, we threw a ball back and forth, different things I remembered. And the more I remembered, the more I realized how much I had forgotten. And the more I realized how deep each memory was within me. And I began to understand that I had a very deep core of memories within me that I had forgotten. So I started to take walks, long walks, trying to remember my father, trying to remember those moments in shul, to remember many things. And I realized that I have a deep core within me. And not only for my father, but then I began to understand other moments. Moments with Reb Moshe Zatzal. Moments with other people, like the Boston Rebbe Zatzal. Many of you may have known Rabbi Bullman, who was Nifter about 10 years ago, 15 years ago in Eretz Yisrael, very close to him. Different, Shlomo Zalman, who had a chance to sit with a number of occasions. I began to understand that within me there's a core. And that core, a garin, is based on matanas that people have given me. The matana of their kochos, the matana of their chokhmah, the matana of their gifts to me. And that I, within me, live all the kochos and all the matanas that these people gave to me, these gedolim, these wonderful people gave to me. They gave it baratzon. Maybe because they gave anybody, Shlomo Zalman would give anybody. Reb Moshe would give anybody. Maybe they because they gave me, whatever the case may be, it now lived in me. It now became part of my inner circle. I want to tell you one story, though, about the inner circle. And I began to think about things that people gave me. It's not about a gadol. It's not about a yid. It's about a black fellow. I want to tell you the story. It's a very interesting story. It stayed with me all of these years. That in America, for those of you who have lived here, in the summer you go to the mountains. So many years ago, my wife and the kids were in the mountains. Came out of Shabbos, and it was time to go to the mountains. So my mother, Olga Sheldon, was going to go with us. I picked her up, and she had made Shabbos. So she brought Slash, and she had Kugel, and everything else, and Challahs. And then I picked up somebody else, a Hasidic young man, and we started driving to the mountains. We got stuck in a couple of traffic jams in New York, and the traffic was very slow, but we had time. But then we got stuck in more and more traffic jams. By the time we hit the George Washington Bridge leading to the mountains, we were very much in a rush because we saw that if we don't get up there quickly, we're going to be stuck on the road. It'll be Shabbos. We don't want to be stuck on the road. We also didn't want to have all the Shabbos was in the car with us. In the middle of George Washington Bridge, I get a flat tire. And I was going to jump out to try to change it. I got very scared. There was Shabbos, a flat tire. But there was a policeman in back of me. And he had a loudspeaker on the car, on his car, and he said, don't stop the car. Go to the end of the bridge. Change the flat tire there. He was watching me. I had no choice. So I drove to the end of the bridge. And the tire was flat, and I was destroying the tire. But do what I can do. I get to the end of the bridge and I get out of the car. I leave my mother in the car. I leave this other fellow in the car. And I start to take out the jack to see if I can change it in a hurry. And all of a sudden I see a black fellow come running towards me. And his car was parked further ahead. So he says, can I help you? I said, I'm sorry. Thank you very much. I don't need your help. I have a jack and I'm going to fix the tire. So I take out the jack and I put the jack under the car and the jack breaks. Oh, what am I going to do now? It's Erev Shabbos. It's Erev Shabbos. I have everything in the car. My mother's in the car. The chassid is in the car. We're heading up to the mountains. We're in the middle of the bridge. We're late. And the jack broke. I have no way of fixing the flat. This black fellow was watching from the edge of the bridge at the end, maybe 100 yards, about 100 feet further. He starts running to me. He says, I have a jack. He's holding the jack in his hands. I got a jack. I can fix it. I don't know what's going on. He's a Malach Mashem. So he doesn't give it to me. He fixes the flat himself. He fixes it himself, and he changes the tire. And before I know it, maybe within 3, 4, 5 minutes, the whole thing is done. It was incredible. He was a younger fellow. He was strong. He could do everything himself. What a pella. What a malach. Erev Shabbat Kodesh. So I asked him. I said, tell me. I said, I can't thank you enough. What can I do for you? He said, not going to do anything to me. I said, well, if you stop there, what did you stop there for? Because you must be in trouble also. He said, no, I stopped because I heard the cop tell you to go to the end of the bridge. The policeman told you to go to the end of the bridge. I figured I'll get there in front of you and I'll help you. I said, well, why'd you do that? He said, because yesterday I was in trouble on the road and somebody came along and helped me. And I said, the next person who needs my help, I'm going to thank him by helping that person. A black person, a shvasa. Incredible. He was a malach, Rosh Lolem, but he wanted to be a malach. He became a part of my inner circle. I remember him all the time. He's a very important person to me. I remember how we returned favors. I don't remember as much as I remember Moshe, that's all, my father, Rosh Lolem, and my Zayda. But they're all part of my inner circle. Now, what does it mean, the inner circle? What's the purpose? How does it serve us? What's the significance in our work with people? So when we spoke about Ari, and we talk about the deeper self, we also discuss the business of the issue of the co-self, that we can be davening, right? By the co-cell. A few days ago, America was going crazy over a Super Bowl, a football game. So who was watching that football game? I'm not talking about who physically was watching it. What part of us was watching that football game? It wasn't the Ari part. It wasn't the deeper self. It wasn't the Shema self. It was a different part of ourselves. It was the more shitchi, superficial, gashmi, right? Part of ourselves, a coarser part of ourselves, a gas part of ourselves. The deeper part, the part that we daven with, the part that we take to the coastal with us, the part that we do chesed with, that's the part that we're talking about, that realize what love is. A guy watching a football game has no concept of what love is. He may be able to feel it when the game is over, but during that game, he's meshubah to that football game. He has no understanding of what human love is. All he sees is a bunch of people killing each other and getting a lot of money out of it. The inner circle is the way that neshama shenasatadi, that the Rosh Hashanah gives me, the Ari self, takes on a lavush, takes on a clothing by matanas that the shluchei Hashem, that people Hashem sends into his life, give him. So whether it's a Tata, or whether it's a Zayda, or whether it's a Rav Moshe, or whether it's Oshama Zalman, or whether it's a Bulman, or whether it's even a Shvalsa, that the Ari self, that Nakuda within us, that deeper self, takes on a Lavush, takes on a grows in its understanding. And while the Shorish may be from that person and what he gave or did for us, while that may be the Shorish, it now becomes us. The matana becomes us. That inner circle becomes who I really am. And in the book that I wrote, called The Inner Circle, Seven Gates to Marriage for Singles. It was a very successful book. People loved it very much. That it spoke to them. Because everyone wants to have an experience of that deeper inner self, because that's mamish who we are. That's the metziyuti. That's the emistic quality in each of us. Now, so what's the value to us and how do we use it? The value is that many people that we deal with, when they're feeling upset, when they're feeling depressed, when they're feeling empty, they don't believe that they have an inner circle. They say, this is who I always am. I never change. I am nobody inside. And no one ever really gave me that, but that's not true. We know that. I'll tell you why. Because who we are as individuals, our ability to walk and to talk and to think and to feel, even knowing our own names, only comes because we have been given gifts from other people. It could be from our mothers or our fathers or our abayim. And these gifts only come from inner circle experiences. We don't learn anything. We don't learn language. We don't learn anything unless it's given in a sweet and delicate way. I guess that's when an upshuring, right? There's a Rebbe around him, sure, doing Eretz Yisrael. The child is able, he licks the letters from the olive bays, right? That have honey on them, right? These are sweet experiences. These are inner circle experiences. This is really what we want people to remember about themselves. That they have a bank account of experiences, even though they may not feel it. Now, so essentially, the goal of the inner circle is to realize that we're all multidimensional and that we encompass many people who have given themselves and have shared the gifts of their lives. And each one of them is a shaliach from the Ribbono Shel Olam to help us fill out our own levush, our own be a levush for our own inner, deeper selves. Now, what I would like to do is I want to do an exercise with you. I want to do an inner circle exercise, which some of you will find, I think, very helpful. But first I want you to, if you can write down, if you'll take a moment, and I want you to write down a list. Give you a moment to take a pencil or paper. And on that list, and if you don't have it handy, then you can do it without the list, but I think it's a good idea to see if you can get a pencil and a paper and start writing the list. It's called an inner circle list. Right? So you can write down parents, grandparents, teachers, rebbeim, counselors, special people and memories. So write that of those categories. Once again, it could be parents and grandparents, and teachers and rebbeim and counselors. It could be a Rebbetzin, it could be a dorm counselor, it could be a college teacher, or just special people you've met once or twice in your life, like me and this on this fellow on the bridge. Just write that list. Now, if you will take this list and choose one person, just take one person who is who seems to carry a very important meaning for you. And that important meaning could be someone that you've known for a long time, like a grandparent, or someone who you met just once and made a big impression on you, like this fellow on the bridge. And if you'll take that person, whoever it is, and I want you to remember now a place that you associate with that person. So let's say if I were to be talking about my Zadie Boston, I would go back to that meeting I had with him before he was NIFTER in Boston, in his apartment in Boston. Or if I would take my father, Olah Shalom, I would go back to the shul, the Elder Street shul where I used to daven when he was alive, as a little boy. Or if I take Reb Moshe, I would go to the Beis HaMedrash. I would take one incident in particular in the Beis HaMedrash. Or if Shlomo Zalman, I would take a place where I met with him. So once again, I would like you to take one person. You don't have to write it down, just choose one person in the inner circle and think about that place that you associate with that person. Okay? Now, what we're going to do is I'm going to give you an inner circle meditation. In other words, I'm going to help you go back to that person, to that time, and to begin to appreciate the power that that person still has on the development of your inner circle. And remember, the inner circle is really who you are. It's the levush of your own mohus, the levush of your own inner, deeper self, not the football self. The Ari self, the Kosel self, the Nila self, right? The Chesed self. And there are many people who comprise this Levush, who give us these Matanas. We're taking just one. We're taking just one. So let me tell you what we're going to do. And I'm going to ask you in a moment, I'm going to ask you to close your eyes. Not yet. I'm going to bring you back to that place where you remember that person in the inner circle. And then I'm going to create an experience. I'm just going to help you focus on this person. And I want you to just go along with the flow of the experience and to begin to realize how much this person still lives within you and the koach, the potential that's there when we learn to bring back these inner circle memories and experiences. So once again, I'm going to ask you to select one person and one person only in the inner circle, maybe a grandparent, maybe a Rebbe, and a place that you associate. This will not take long. It takes maybe just a few minutes. Let's see. You all ready? Yeah, let's do it then. So I would like you to close your eyes. And take a nice, easy breath just to relax. If you want, if you wish, you can keep your hands together or not. It's up to you. But I'd like you to imagine the place, the building that you associate with your inner circle member. And I'd like you to imagine that it's nighttime and you're standing outside of this building. Perhaps it's a school, perhaps it's a shul, perhaps it's your home. And you're standing outside. And I'd like you to imagine that from the outside you open the door leading to this building, leading to this home, this apartment, the school, the shul, And as you walk in, you can begin to remember different things that you can see on the wall that you associate with this place, this special place. Maybe pictures, maybe signs. You can begin to remember the different rooms, the home. Perhaps you go into the kitchen. You can look at the cabinets and the refrigerator. You can remember the smells. The school, maybe it'll be in the hallway. You can hear the noises that you associate with this place. And I would like you slowly to go through as many places as you wish within this space that you can remember. Things that you can remember about it. Things that you could see, that you could hear, that you can touch, that you can smell. And now I'd like you to imagine that you find yourself in that makom, in that place where you most associate with this member of your inner circle. And you sit there and you're all alone, quietly. And as you sit there, I'd like you to imagine that you can hear footsteps coming towards you. And the footsteps get louder, and you can now see a figure in front of you. You see the legs and the arms. You can see the face. You can see the eyes. And you realize that this standing in front of you is this person, this special person who is a part of your inner circle. And as you look at this person from your inner circle, you can look into this person's eyes. And you can feel a deep sense of love and caring for you. You can feel that your own uniqueness as a person is being given to you through this person's love and caring for you. Within this moment, you can feel your own specialness as a person. You can feel your own worth as a person. You can say, thank you for enabling me to feel special within myself, to feel so human, cared for, and loved. I will always be Mako told to the Matana you are giving me. Perhaps if this person is someone you can touch, maybe your mother or grandmother or someone, perhaps you can imagine touching this person's face with the back of your hands, just gently feeling this person's face. And I'd like you to imagine that you can just feel the softness and the warmth and the love this person has for you at this moment, and how you are being given this gift, being cared for by this member of your inner circle. I'd like you now to imagine, while you're looking at this person, you stand up and you begin to walk backwards out of this place, keeping your eyes on this individual until you're out of the room, until you now walk slowly out of the building. Now you're back into the street once again. It was night. Did you feel a sense of wholeness within yourself? Did you reveal a dimension of yourself that was always there? And now it is so clear there's a part of you. With that, I'd like you to slowly open your eyes. Now, what I'd like to suggest that I did, it took me a number of years. It doesn't have to take you a number of years because I didn't know what I was doing. But if you have a list of inner circle members, right, the list I gave you of people that you know verbatim, parents, grandparents, friends, teachers, and just make a list, and each day you should try to do an inner circle exercise the way we just did it. And the process is very simple. You imagine yourself outside of the building. You imagine yourself entering the building. You kind of look around and become familiar with different sounds, different aromas, things that you see, things you can touch. So I'll sit down in that place, and you're going to bring this person in, because you hear the footsteps. You can see the face and the eyes. You can feel the love this person has for you. And you can take these memories, and now you have an awareness of your inner circle. You can daven being this person. You'll find that if you are this person and you're talking to somebody, maybe a child, or maybe a spouse, or maybe a client you're working with, or maybe a colleague, you'll find that you can be this person in a very conscious way, and it deepens who you are. It deepens your sense of self. It deepens the mahus of who you are. It gives you a more human and ruchani dimension to who you are. You care more. You think more. You feel more. You are more. You are yourself. You're utilizing a matana that Rabbi Shalom gave you. And it's always been there, always will be there. Now you're learning to take it out of yourself and to utilize it. So if you can make a list and begin to go through some of your inner circle members, and you can do the same for the people you work with. It had such a dimension of meaning to people's lives, particularly people who feel their lives are empty and hollow. It's not true. Rabbi Shalom gave us all enormous, enormous bank accounts of inner circle experiences that we've forgotten. If we didn't have them, we wouldn't be able to walk and talk and think and feel nothing. We all have them. Now, some people will be resistant, so it's okay, you don't have to fight it. Many people, once they learn it, they'll have a wonderful, wonderful time. It deepens their sense of self. So that is the inner circle, the gate of the inner circle. Next week, Bez Hashem, we will be, we'll be focusing on for me, which is, it seems strange because you've learned so many wonderful things. But that which I use more than anything else in this program, maybe as much as anything else, and that's walking. Walking, we'll be learning different types of walking, meditative walking and focus walking, and how the importance of these exercises, and I'll be giving you materials that you can use, actually recorded materials that you can actually walk with, meditative experiences, which are really wonderful experiences. And that'll bring us to the 10th session, and then we'll talk, I have the chance to think through, I'll be discussing with some of you, but we'll put an 11th session in there. I would also ask if you've not fulfilled your financial obligations, if you can take care of that as we're coming to the end of this course, that would be very helpful. So I'm going now to open up the now. So it says, does it mix you up if you identify too much with others? This is one question I'm getting asked. This is not identification. This is not identifying with others. This is identifying a strength and a skill that you've learned. This is not an identity confusion. I remember when my daughter Esti was born. Now, Baruch Hashem, she has a very big family. But the first person that went to see, I was coming home from the hospital, was Rav Moshe. I went to the yeshiva, and I walked over to Rav Moshe, and I told him that we just had our first child. Rav Moshe looked at me in my eyes as if I was the only person in the world with such penetrating depth. I never imagined somebody could care so much about somebody else having a child. And we had known Moshe was a Sadekadushin, and he knew the family very well, cared about us very much. But when I now give somebody a Mazel Tov, I try to remember to be Rav Moshe. I try to remember to look in that person's eyes and give that person with what Rav Moshe in a small amount. I can never repeat it. But I try to, that becomes my new standard of what Rav Moshe gave me. I want to give others. I want to shift. I want to pass the torch. If somebody gives me a gift, I now want to pass that torch. So that's not identity confusion. We're using a koach that the shliach of the Rebbein Shalom gave to us. And we're now taking that koach and we're giving it over to others, just like Lahabdo, that black fellow on the bridge. That's identity confusion. That's sharing a matana, sharing a koach. That's the essence of our inner circle. Any other questions? Now, yes. Should you imagine the person or the message? Yes. There's no reason not to imagine or not to remember what your bubby looked like when she called you the most beautiful girl in the world. Right? My Shana Tatled, right? Or when you saw somebody daven in a special way and you want to daven the way that person does, you can certainly imagine having that person live in you. Imagine that person physically. Right? Being that person. That person is living within you. You are now that person. It's not that person, a friend, an alien is invading your body. Nobody's invading your body. But this is a koach within the core of who you are. You should imagine yourself being that person in the way you would remember that person. That will enable you to recall the memory and the feeling. Yes. Any other questions that you would like to ask? Please. Good. So I don't see any other questions coming on the screen. Leave it one more moment, and if you wish, you can call me and take another moment. And if not, we will bring this session to an end. And thank you very much for giving me the opportunity to share these thoughts. It also gives me an opportunity really to get all these thoughts together. I think they're very important. And if I don't hear from you, then I will, Bez Hashem, meet next week on Tuesday at this time. And during the week, I can discuss with Pesach and some of the others whether we'll go in one extra session. Anyway, I wish you a very wonderful week ahead, and the Tu B'Shvat should be filled with wonderful peros for you and your families. Okay.